Hi, this is R. Renee with thetithinghoax.com. Let's talk about what the church doesn't want you to talk about today on the Tithing Hoax Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message. Hi there, this is R. Renee with the Tithing Hoax Podcast. I am the co-author of the book, The Tithing Hoax, Exposing the Lies, Misinterpretations, and False Teachings About Tithing. Thank you for joining me today on this week's podcast, and I hope you had a wonderful holiday season and Happy New Year, New Year's to you and yours. Today, I am beginning a series of teachings. Often, we receive emails from visitors to our website, and they have various questions and comments. And I wanted to address in these upcoming lessons some comments and issues from one of our visitors, and I will call him Jerry. That's not his actual name. I'll just call him Jerry to protect his privacy. And Jerry raised several issues and comments regarding tithing, and he is someone who has been taught to tithe, and he grew up with various tithing teachings. So I wanted to tackle and answer many of his comments and clarify some issues that he brought up. So in this first episode of podcast of the new year, I'll start with this particular statement. And it is, the tithe is before the law and stayed on after the law of Moses. So in this episode, I'm going to deal with the issue of tithing existing before the law. And then in the next podcast, I'll deal with the second half of the statement, that the tithe stayed on after the law of Moses. And this is a statement that was taken from a statement that Jerry made. So in dealing with the tithe before the law, so let me put this in context. There are many pro-tithing preachers who would say that the tithe is still in effect because the tithe predates the law of Moses. And many of us who say, well, the tithing does not pertain to Christians, primarily because the tithe was a part of the law and Jesus the Christ fulfilled the law. Therefore, tithing came to an end. So the proponents of tithing argue, well, that's pretty much beside the point because tithing existed before the law of Moses. And since it existed before the law of Moses, it's an eternal practice that has not gone away. And they also use or cite or make the argument that because tithing predates the law of Moses, that it is somehow a law or principle that God already had in place. And it's the eternal principle or an eternal law that did not go away once the law of Moses was fulfilled. And so that's what I'm going to deal with today, is the tithe before the law, or what it's also called pre-law tithing. Tithing before the law. There are two examples or two references to tithing in the Bible. And these two examples or two references, and they're only two references, and they are Abram's tithe, which is, you can go to Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, and Jacob's tithe, who is Abraham's grandson, Jacob, and his tithe, which you will find in Genesis chapter 28, 22. I will start with taking a look at Abram's tithe. The first reference to the tithe is in the book of Genesis. Abram presents king or priest Melchizedek with a tithe, which is a tenth of the spoils he obtained in battle after rescuing his son, his nephew Lot from the Canaanites. And you will find this, that story in Genesis 14. And I'm not going to read all of that, so you can read it for yourself in Genesis 14. So what we want to do is take a look at Abram's tithe and why Abram tithe and what Abram's tithe means. And does Abram's tithe mean that this is something that God had in place and whether you should tithe because that's what Abram did? And so we have to look at Abram's tithe in context, in biblical and historical context, to glean the actual meaning of Abram's tithe and how it relates or doesn't relate to the modern day tithe. And I always stress looking at scripture in context, which is something that a lot of pro-tithing folk don't do. So that's something that you must do to come away with a clear understanding of not only what the Bible says, but what the Bible means by what it says. So let's take a close-up look at Abram's tithe. One of the things you will notice about Abram's tithe is that God did not tell Abram to tithe. God did not instruct Abram to tithe. God did not request Abram to tithe. When you read your Bible and read of Abraham's story, you will find that whenever God gives Abram an instruction or when God is speaking directly to Abram or Abraham, the Bible will reference that by saying, by stating something to the effect that God spoke to Abram, God commanded Abram, the Lord said unto Abram or Abraham. And I cite those examples in the tithing hoax. So that lets you know when God is engaged in a conversation with Abram and or Abraham and wants Abram to do something. And it also lets you know when God is involved with something that he wants Abram or Abraham to do. Now, what we find is that is totally missing from this tithe. So the point in stating that fact that God did not tell Abram to tithe lets us know that God had no relationship to the tithe and God was not involved in that tithe. Okay? So the next logical question is, well, if God did not instruct Abram to tithe and God had no relationship with Abram's tithe, then why did Abram give this tithe to King Melchizedek? Well, the bottom line is Abram's tithe, you know, was voluntary, but more important than that, it was voluntary based on the ancient social customs of his day. Now, let's clarify that. Tithes was a man-made custom practiced by many ancient nations to pay tribute to pagan deities and to those of higher authorities such as kings. So Abram's tithe is indicative of that ancient social custom. So why is this significant? Well, the fact that it's ancient social custom, it once again, it affirms that God had nothing to do with the tithe. The tithe was a man-made custom. And Abram was just doing what was considered custom at that particular time and in the region in which he lived. So his tithe was not a religious act. It was not a spiritual act. It was a social act, a social custom. So if you take, for example, even today where we do things because it's social custom, not because God told us to do it, or not because God required us to do it, or not for any religious or spiritual reasons, because it's just social custom. You know the saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans? Take, for example, if you go to Japan, and it is customary in Japan that when you greet someone, you do not shake hands. You bow at the waist. That is a social custom of that particular culture. Now, when you're not in that culture, 9 times out of 10, when you greet somebody, you're not going to bow at the waist. In America, when we greet someone, we know we may, you know, shake hands, or somebody, you know, you may, you know, give them a hug or something like that. You may just say, hey, how are you doing? Well, traditionally in Japan, that's not how you're going to greet someone. You will bow at the waist. And so when in Japan, do as the Japanese. When in a particular people's culture, you do as they do. And that's the case with Abram. His tithe was based on social custom, and he acted in accordance to the custom, the man-made custom, not according to some made-up tithe law that God created that pro-tithers want to argue. No, it was just based on man-made social custom. He was just doing what was normally done at that time in that particular region. So God had nothing to do with it, and it had no religious or spiritual significance to it. It was just social custom. Another aspect of Abram's tithe that we must take into consideration is that Abram did not tithe from his own wealth or personal possessions. You can go to Genesis chapter 14, verse 11 and verse 22. The spoils of war, these were possessions that were taken out of Sodom by the Canaanites. So Abram goes and gets those possessions back, and he gets his nephew Lot back. So he gave a tenth of those spoils to King Melchizedek, and which I'll mention later, that the rest of it was, you know, given back to the king of Sodom and his people, Sodom's people. Because that belonged to them. So the bottom line is, this was not something, this tithe did not come from his own personal wealth. Now, Abram was a wealthy man. I mean, Abram had it going on. I mean, he was Mr. Bling Bling. He had money, he had wealth, but he didn't tithe what he owned. He tithed from the spoils of war, from what was stolen from Sodom, was taken from Sodom. So that's not his money. And so, you know, as today, of course, they say you need to tithe from your income and your wages and your social security check and all this that belongs, what belongs to you, you need to tithe. And that's not what Abram did. That was not his money. He returned to the people what was theirs and gave King Melchizedek the 10% according to social custom, the 10% of those possessions. He never did tithe his money. So that's a point that pro-tithers don't mention. And the last thing, maybe not the last thing, one more thing about, no, not the last thing and not one more thing. another point about Abram's tithe, and I mentioned just a minute ago, is that he returned the rest of the spoils to the king of Sodom. You read that in Genesis chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. So it wasn't his, and what didn't belong to him, he returned to those to whom the possessions and the spoils did belong, and that was the people of Sodom. And the last thing about Abram's tithe that we ought to look at is that Abram's tithe was a one-time act. There is no evidence, no proof in the Bible whatsoever that this is something that Abram continued to do, that this was some type of ongoing practice. We never ever read again that Abram or Abraham ever tithed anything from that point forward. Now, let's take a look at Jacob's tithe. Jacob being Abraham's grandson, Jacob the son of Isaac. So we have to first start to add some background and give some context. We have to start with what God promised Jacob. And you can read this in Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 through 15. And I have it here, and I'm gonna go ahead and read this one to you. It says, "And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and will keep you in all places, wherever you go, and will bring you again into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of." So that's a promise that God makes to Jacob. God appears to Jacob in a dream, in a vision, and God makes this promise to Jacob. And what is Jacob's response? In turn, Jacob makes his own vow or promise to God. This is what Jacob says to God. "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all of that you give me, I will give you a tenth.'" You can read this in Genesis chapter 28, verses 20 through 22. So here we see that Jacob responds to God's promise with his own vow, a promise to tithe. So basically, Jacob is saying, "Oh, look, hey, God, if you do all these things, then I will give you a tithe." Now, we got to break down this vow to tithe and put it in even more context and explain it. And what does this really mean? And what is this really saying about Jacob and about the tithe, and particularly as it relates to this modern day tithe, and whether you can promote tithing based on Jacob's vow to tithe. So the first thing is I want to point out about Jacob's tithe is, you will notice when God made those promises to Jacob, God never requested a tithe. Once again, God does not say anything about a tithe. It doesn't come up. God doesn't mention it. God never tells Jacob, if you tithe, I will promise you and I will do all of these things for you. I will bless you in these ways. It never comes up because God is coming from the standpoint, I'm going to bless you just as I did your father, just as I did your grandfather, Abraham and your father, Isaac. You too will be blessed. That's just my promise. That's my word. I'm not asking you to do anything other than to trust and believe in what I say and what I promise. So the tithe for God, the tithe never factored in to his promises to Jacob. Now, when we look closely at Jacob's vow to tithe, his promise to tithe, what do we see? What we see, or what I see, and what is there, is a lack of faith on Jacob's part. The bottom line is, Jacob doesn't believe what God has promised him. What is the first thing, the first word out of Jacob's mouth is if. After God made the promises, the first thing out of Jacob's mouth is if God will. If? What are you talking about if? God told you what he was going to do. Why are you saying now if you do these things? So when someone says if, that is doubt. that I really don't believe what you're saying. I haven't bought into what you're saying. I really don't have faith in what you're saying. So I'm going to say, if you do these things. And God never said, Jacob, I might do such and such. I'm thinking about doing some. There's a possibility I'm going to do these blessings or give you these blessings. No, God said, this is what I'm going to do. Jacob did not have the faith in God and belief in God's word that God would do what God said he was going to do. So what does Jacob do? That's when Jacob makes the vow, makes this conditional vow to God. God, because I really don't believe in what you say, I don't believe you're going to give me these promises, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a vow, and if you do these things for me, if you do bless me in this way, then guess what? I'm going to pay you a tithe. That's his vow, and it's a conditional vow, and it's a conditional vow based on a lack of faith in God. So Jacob was saying, if you bless me, then I will tithe. Hook me up first. No, show me what you're working with first, God. You know, yeah, my father, grandfather knew you, and my father knew you, but I don't really know you like that. So you need to prove yourself first, and then I will pay a tithe. And that essentially, not only is it a this conditional vow, it's like a form of bribery. You know, it's like, I'm going to bribe you with a tithe that's going to move God to act on his behalf. You know, if I throw this in there, if I throw this tithe in there, then God is like, okay, yeah, he's really going to hook me up. You know, come on now. And another point in Jacob's tithe, just like Abram's, it was voluntary. How do we know it's voluntary? Because God never requested it. God didn't say anything in relation to a tithe. Jacob brought that up, not God. And the last thing, which is very important, is the Bible never said that Jacob ever paid the tithe. The only thing is that Jacob vowed or made a promise to tithe. But we don't even know if he ever did or not, because there's no reference from that point forward of Jacob and a tithe. Here's some food for thought. Just because something or a practice appeared in the Bible before the law of Moses does not mean it continues after the law of Moses, or that it was meant to continue on, or that is some type of eternal principle or practice. Take, for example, polygamy. Polygamy was practiced prior to the law of Moses. Abraham, Esau, Jacob. Come on now. Polygamy. I don't hear them arguing for polygamy and said, well, that, yeah, it did exist at that time, but after the law of Moses, since Jesus fulfilled that, it's no longer relevant, it's no longer valid, it's not practiced, da 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 da. Well, how is it can be that for polygamy, but not for tithing? And that's what really gets me, is how these folks want to pick and choose according to what fits their stinking agenda. In this case, the whole tithing agenda. So you want to pick and choose whatever suits you and your self-interest. Tithing, yes. Polygamy, no. Because you have a vested interest in this modern day tithe and pimping people out of their money. So you want to try to manipulate the Bible and find kind of so-called loopholes to justify you pimping people out of their income. Well, the bottom line is, for the pro-tithers, if you want to use Abram's tithe and Jacob's tithe to justify this modern day tithe, okay, then since it predates it, then you ought, seems to me, you ought to tithe in the way that those two tithe. Or at least where Abram tithed, because we don't even know that Jacob ever even paid a tithe. But if you want to use Abram as a model, okay, fine. Then if you tithe, You should never tithe out of your own income, because Abram didn't tithe from his own income. And if you tithe, you should only do it one time. So that's Abram's model. You tithe one time, and you don't do it from your, you don't tithe from your own income. That's how Abram did it. So if you're saying that it's this law, this eternal principle, and God, that God instituted, well, if that's the case, and if Abram did it according to God's will, if that's the way God wanted him to do it, then shouldn't you do it that way? But no, of course they don't want to do it that way, because that doesn't serve their purpose. Anyway, to sum this up, when we look at Abram's tithe and Jacob's tithe, both which predate the law of Moses, which is called pre-law tithing, what we find is that nothing in the scriptures suggests that God had anything to do with a tithe prior to the law of Moses. God had nothing to do with Abram's tithe. God had nothing to do with Jacob's tithe. Abram tithe because it was the ancient social custom of that day. It wasn't for any religious or spiritual purposes. It was just the custom. And God didn't tell him to do it. So Abram acted according to a man-made custom. And one thing I also want to point out, like with Jacob's vow to tithe, because if this was some type of eternal principle that God had already had in place, you would think that Abram knew about it. You would think that Jacob knew about it. And if Jacob knew about it, he could not negotiate with God on the tithe. He would have just had to have paid a tithe. He wouldn't be able to say, well, God, if you do this, then I will pay you a tithe. If there is already a law in place, if it's a law in place, well, you got to do it. There's no room for negotiation with God on that. Come on now. And you see how these pro-tithers, how they don't, their approach to scripture is not even logical. It just doesn't even make sense. And how their own teachings kind of contradict themselves. If it's a law, you got to do it. It's not voluntary. You got to do it. You wouldn't negotiate with God if it's already in place and Jacob knew about this law. He would just went ahead and pay the tithe. It wouldn't be, if you do this, then I will pay. No, he would have just did it. So, once again, tithe is social custom. There's no scripture, no biblical evidence that this was ongoing practice among Jacob or among Abram or Abraham. It just does not exist. And in Abram's case, he never did tithe from his personal possessions or his personal wealth. It just didn't take place. And as far as Jacob is concerned, we don't even know if he ever even paid a tithe or gave a tithe. He just made a vow to. So that's it. That is the lesson and the discussion and the conversation regarding the tithe before the law. Just because something appeared before the law does not mean it's an eternal principle or practice. And in this case, it is true with the pre-law tithing, with Abram's tithe and Jacob's tithe. And what we see when we actually look at the scriptures and look at the scripture in context and look at these tithe script verses in context, we find that God had absolutely nothing to do with either one of these tithes. There was no tithe principle law that God had instituted with or through Abraham, or Jacob. The pro-tithers have missed the boat on that one. So, until next time. And in the meantime, you know, if you have any questions, you can always drop us an email at info@thetithinghoax.com and just visit thetithinghoax.com website and look around, and we have a lot of information that's up there. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I'm Renee, and you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you. Renee here. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Tithing Hoax podcast. For more information about the Tithing Hoax, visit thetithinghoax.com, download your free tithe study guide, or drop us an email at info@thetithinghoax.com. Until next time, peace and blessings.